Continuing this series of talks on guru issues, I'm getting back to this topic after quite a long break. I'm going to go to a topic which I was planning to do right at the end of this series, which is discussing about solving ISKCON's guru problems. I'm taking this forward a bit. Well, I'm speaking on this now rather than speaking on so many other topics before, because at the present time within ISKCON and around the periphery of ISKCON, there's a huge hullabaloo going on about the failings, purported or real, of several ISKCON gurus. And this may seriously affect the faith of many devotees who may think, well, they're supposed to be the best. If they don't come up to the level, then maybe Krishna consciousness doesn't work. Or maybe we need to make some massive speculative change, such as propagated by what are called the Ritvikvadis. The Ritvikvadis promote that, well, we won't have any more gurus in the way that it used to be, that it's always been. We'll just have Prabhupada initiate everyone on into the future. Then we won't have any gurus falling down. We can effectively stop the parampara. Parampara means guru initiates, then his disciples become gurus, but effectively stop that chain and imagine that Srila Prabhupada didn't want any more guruship in the way that it's been conducted since time immemorial according to Shastra. You just can't imagine such massive changes. But there may be some idea that, well, Krishna consciousness doesn't work, or we're not doing it properly, we're not doing it properly. That's more to the point. There are all kinds of issues about gurus and disciples. I've discussed some of them in this series of talks, and there are many more, and no doubt there'll be more in the future also. And we have to be aware of these. Some devotees are not very happy I'm even discussing these topics, because they think of a little, it will damage their faith to even think about this. But Krishna consciousness is meant to awaken our intelligence to distinguish, that is the duty of a guru, to teach the disciples to distinguish between reality and illusion. That is the point of Shastra. Vedanta teaches us to identify what is the actual fact. So we should see to these things. Of course, we have to see with the eye of faith, these eye of respect, but with the eye of intelligence. Intelligence in this case doesn't mean that cold, skeptical, hard intelligence by which we doubt everyone and everything. But at the same time, we have to see that there are issues. One thing to consider is that the guru issues are intertwined with broader issues. For instance, that many devotees who have come to Krishna consciousness with great hope are still practicing at some level and still identify themselves as devotees, but they don't want to have very close interaction with, if at all, with the ISKCON mainstream which brought them into Krishna consciousness. For various reasons. They just can't relate to it, can't relate to a lot of it. Gurus are needed. We have a religious institution called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. all religious institutions are set up, as Max Weber, one of the founding fathers of sociology, pertinently pointed out, to the institutions, they act to routinize charisma, that genuinely spiritual or at least charismatic leaders start religious, they start religious movements, but then the religious movements require to be stratified, organized, rules have to be put in place, and it becomes an institutionalized. So the religious institutions, they're required also, but they need saintly people to justify themselves to the public. Because if you just have an institution, but you don't have saintly people to look up to, then it might seem that it's all empty talk about saintliness. You need someone or some many to set an ideal of saintliness. And generally the priests, the monks, the nuns are supposed to set that example. The priests in the Catholic tradition, they were highly respected among the lay members of the church. That has changed a lot due to widespread reports of abuse of pastoral responsibility by priests in the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is having problems with their institutionalized saints. The Buddhists in Sri Lanka and Thailand are having problems also. It's not only in ISKCON that people who are supposed to be saintly don't always appear to be saintly or are not saintly. And what happens, it casts doubt even on those who are saintly. We may think, well, he looks like he's very saintly, but you don't know what he's doing in private, which is one good reason why saints, or saintly people, they don't have a private life in as much as their life is an open book. We see with Srila Prabhupada, he was always with devotees. Of course, at night he would be, well, he would sleep for a little time and then he would translate his books, but it was clear to everyone what he was doing. He didn't hide away sometimes or pretend he was doing something which he wasn't doing, or he didn't go incognito for some time. His life was an open book. So what is the answer to ISKCON Guru's problems? Ding! Can we just go ding, press a button, everything's solved? Well, the button that will solve everything is that we all become pure devotees, which is what Krishna consciousness is meant to be, or at least those who are leading this movement should be seen to be pure, minimally in their behavior, in their activities, minimally not to sink into the depths. Of course, when someone tries to go up in Krishna consciousness, when one tries to come up out of Maya, what happens is Maya, who yaya samohito jiva, atmanam trigunatmakam. What happens, Maya, who just generally covers the living beings, that is called the covering potency. Then, when someone tries to come out of that covering of Maya, then Maya resorts to her throwing potency, kick you back, prakshepatmika vritti. Avaranatmika vritti is covering, and prakshepatmika vritti, throwing us back. So if we try to become free from Maya, then Maya is going to work on us harder still. But we should become pure devotees. Let there be devotees who show the ideal. In the meantime, we have to live with the reality. Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness in a world which is a long, long way away from Vedic culture, a long, long way away from purity in society, a long, long way away from Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is reported as having said that he was giving sannyas to young men in the manner of a battlefield commission. In other words, on a battlefield, when an officer is killed or incapacitated, then say a medium level officer is incapacitated or killed, then a leading officer will on the spot choose, just see out of the men, okay, the sergeant got killed, the sergeant is leading these troops, he's killed, okay, you, I've seen you, you're a good private, you're hardworking, sincere, intelligent, okay, now you become the sergeant, on the spot. No particular training, no preparation, no verification by others, on the spot, because it's needed, someone has to lead the men. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada said, he's giving sannyas to men who are maybe not fit for that, but someone is needed to lead the movement. It's confusing times. We're in a battle with Maya. We're always in a battle with Maya. Especially this movement is supposed to be in a battle with Maya. What is the solution to all guru problems? Well, we can't work it all out with our brains or by making this rule, that rule, psychological study. Pray to Krishna for clarity that we can fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire. Srila Prabhupada said there should be thousands of acharyas. He wanted all of his disciples to become gurus and initiate. We have a few who are doing that, who are overloaded, often idealized. Sometimes it might seem something like a movie star. There is an idea that we should have many local grihastha gurus, senior devotees who can initiate and give guidance, down to earth, instead of some guru who flies in from the clouds, initiates a few people and then goes up in the clouds again, not to be seen for a year or two. So down to earth gurus who can practically guide. It's a good idea, but you can't just rubber stump someone as a guru. They have to be up to the level, whether they're local or all over the world. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, quoting Rupa Goswami, said that devotees can initiate all over the world. Prithivin Sashishyat, first verse of Upadeshamrita. So simply by having local, down-to-earth grihasthas as gurus, it's not necessarily going to be a solution, because when one takes that role, it's something like having children. You don't know what it's like until you have them. All of a sudden, you have this heavy responsibility, and one's shortcomings, one's anarthas, tend to be seen more seriously, especially as the guru's anarthas, if he has them, will tend to be mimicked by the disciples, which makes a serious problems in the whole system of parampara. Will the situation improve soon? We hope so, but it doesn't look like it's likely to radically change overnight. Hopefully these talks that I'm giving will give at least a few devotees here and there some insights to realistically assess the situation, adjust their minds to the reality, and go forward in Krishna consciousness. Time will help. We're still a very young movement. There's no watertight solution. Guru issues will continue. They've always been there. Even in the best of times, in Satya Yuga, we're still in the material world. So even in the best of times, there are gurus who have given the wrong advice. If you're not advising to surrender to Krishna and become his pure devotee, you can be a very saintly person in many other ways, but you can be leading people on the path of karma, jnana, yoga. You may be very dharmic, very moral, but you may be misleading by not having the right philosophy or understanding. Now, realistically, what can we do? One solution is that we should see that gurus behave properly like real brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada wanted brahmanas to lead the whole of human society. We can study the character of brahmanas in India. There are still some who follow the old traditions. There are still some who are very pure in their habits. When we're talking about guru issues, well, the guru issues that have caused such an uproar recently have been due to not following the regulative principles, especially in the matter of interaction with females. Therefore, what am I going to propose as a solution? Varnashram dharma. We think the solution is that we should have pure devotees. They should come up to the Super Maha Bhagavat Paramahamsa platform, and I'm taking attack coming in at the bottom level. We should institute Varnashram Dharma and Gurukul as Srila Prabhupada insisted. We need to train brahmanas. We need to have an atmosphere in society where people don't grow up with horrible sanskaras, impressions in their minds, which are very difficult to eradicate. We want children to grow up in a pure atmosphere, Varnashram Dharma communities, in which society, Daiva Varnashram, which is structured around living simply, with high philosophy, Krishna in the center, training boys from a young age in Brahminical culture. Of course, not every boy is going to be Brahminical, but we won't produce brahmanas of the disposition, the inherent disposition that is suitable to lead others. We're not going to do that systematically, unless we have the facility, the opportunity to train brahmanas. It may be 1 in 1,000, manushanam sahasreshu, but such training is required. The school of Dronacharya, he was training kshatriyas. It wasn't a huge number of people who came to him. There are 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, there were the Pandavas, there was his own son. It was a few in relation to the whole of society, But it was required. Kshatriyas are required. Brahmanas are required. One reason we're having so many problems in our ISKCON society is that Guru Ravagya, we have avoided Srila Prabhupada's order to institute Varnashram Dharma. So that's problematic, first of all, because we're avoiding the order of the Guru. And another thing, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do that, seeing that we are living in such a nasty culture, which we take as normal, and which generates so many problems in the lives of individuals and of the whole society. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to do it, yes, but we should do it because he wanted us to do it. But why did he want us to do it? Because it's very hard to cultivate pure Krishna consciousness in a society which is so grossly antipathetic to pure Krishna consciousness. We don't even notice that. We take this nasty, rakshasa society as normal. There's a major problem right there if we think that this demoniac society in which we're living is something normal, and we may think, well, it's just pragmatic, we have to adjust to it. But Srila Prabhupada, his plan was that we don't adjust to it. We make our own alternative society. And then we can train devotees from the very beginning. We can have an atmosphere in which this gross, horrible, sexual perversion is just not there. We take it as normal that it is there. But it's not meant to be there in a civilized society. We may think, well, Varnashram, that's, you know, it's not possible, maybe after a few generations, but it doesn't have to be way, way off in the distant future. Srila Prabhupada envisioned having it now. By Krishna's mercy, at least a few devotees who I'm associated with are starting such farm projects, simple living, high thinking, growing your own food, keeping Krishna in the center, very strongly Krishna-centered Varnashram society. So it is possible. But even, you may say, well, we have to preach in the cities. That's true. We have to preach in the cities. And we have so many devotees who are working in secular life. But immediately, the Varnashram norm of being very careful, very restrictive in dealings between men and women should be introduced. That's a basic stipulation of any cultured society. Culture doesn't mean listening to some piano of Mozart. But culture begins with understanding that Pungsastriya Mithuni Bhavametam, the basic principle of material existence, is the attraction between male and female, and restricting that. So we're seeing that there have been difficulties. Sannyasis not behaving properly with females. But that shouldn't be allowed. Grihasthas have their wives. Even grihasthas in a cultured society, they don't mix up with other people's wives. In that book, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, there's an anecdote. Rasaraj Prabhu recalling that his father, every day, his father, or Rasaraj's sister, would bring a cup of coffee to her father, their father. And then at one time, Rasaraj remembers, she's a young girl. And then Rasaraj remembers at one time, he asked her, how old are you now? And she said 13 or something like that. And he said, all right, from now on, you ask your mother to bring it. He wouldn't have his daughter bring the coffee to him when she was around the age of puberty, hitting puberty. So even in the very cultured society, matra swastra duhitra va navivikthasano bhavet balavan indriyagramo vidvangsang apikarshati. This verse is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also in the Manu Sanghita, warning that even a very cultured, learned person should not sit close to his mother, sister, or daughter, because the senses are so strong that even the mind of a cultured person like that can be disturbed. The warning is there. It's hardly expected that cultured people would be attracted sexually to their mother, sister, or daughter, but the warning is there. And that's why they're cultured, because they know this culture and they follow it. That's the beginning of culture. There are so many things in Varnashram Dharma to follow. So many problems will be solved if we understand this point. It will be difficult to live among so-called ordinary people. That's a fact. But if we want to live according to the standards and norms of ordinary people, then we're going to get the same problems as ordinary people get. Don't think that child abuse and sexual perversity are something that we only get in religious organizations. It's everywhere. It's just that when it comes in religious organizations, we become more shocked, because you wouldn't think that it would be there among holy people. But holy people can be holy by helps to keep them holy. Just like there's a story, which I've heard it in relation to Henry Ford. It's probably apocryphal, but anyway. Henry Ford was telling one of his friends or whatever, that, you see, in my factory, in my company, everyone is very honest. We have no thieves. And his friend was doubtful. Then Henry Ford took him on a tour of the factory, and he saw locks everywhere. Everything is locked. So many. He said, you have so many locks. Why are so many things locked up if everyone's honest? He said, they're honest. Henry Ford replied, they're honest because we have a system. When something valuable is not in use, we lock it up. So there are systems to help cultured people remain cultured, because the senses are very strong. Now you may say, well, that only helps to keep people from the gross fall down. That's true. We're talking about problems which arise from gross fall down. But the real thing, of course, which we have to do, and that's what we mean by Daivavarashram Dharma. Daivavarashram Dharma means centered on Krishna. The real thing we have to do is promote Krishna and Krishna consciousness. That can be done without Varnashram Dharma. But we're seeing that we're having so many problems. But it should be done. We should promote within our ISKCON society the basic teachings. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his servants. ISKCON is meant for devotional service to Krishna, aiming at pure devotional service without any personal desire. We have to constantly promote this. You may think, well, everyone knows that. I don't know if everyone knows it, because so many devotees are preaching about personality development and overcoming your inner struggles, and talking about so many things which people may like to hear, but the thing we really need to hear again and again and again and again and again is that we're all eternal servants and we're supposed to serve Krishna. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Make that point very, very, very clear. We're not here for any other purpose than to serve Krishna together. And the process, what is the process? The process is we have to follow the four regulated principles. And you say, well, everyone knows that. Everyone knows it, then why are devotees falling down? We should emphasize again and again and again, as Srila Prabhupada did. Chant minimum 16 rounds, aiming to chant offenselessly every day without fail. Rise early, morning and evening, kirtan, discussion from Shastra, all these things. Take only Krishna prasadam. Associate with more advanced devotees. Associate with and serve more advanced devotees. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. We have to emphasize these things and do them. And guru means who sets the example in these things. And if we do these things, we should become a pure devotee. Actually, following all these things means that we are pure devotees, in as much as if our behavior is pure, then gradually the result should be there that we become pure. But again, we need systems, checks and balances. We may say we don't like religious institutions, but religion means there are rules. There are so many rules to follow. Otherwise, what's the meaning of a religion? So the rules are to help us stay pure. And understand, there's Krishna and there's Maya. Just understand this simple point. There's Krishna and there's Maya. And a guru means who has a very clear understanding. What is Krishna's, what pleases Krishna, and what doesn't please Krishna. And sets the example of acting in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And the disciples are supposed to follow that. It's very, very simple. Actually, the principles are very simple. There's no need for all these problems. We should just stick to the straight path and there should be no problem. But we're so busy trying to find out different ways and new innovations and different things to do. Sometimes it seems that we forget the very simple and basic things. Another point, guruship and management. The management of the institution as far as possible, if we can separate these two, that will be very helpful for helping the gurus to act as gurus. I've discussed that in one of the talks, and I'll discuss it some more also, hopefully. From Kripa Mois Prabhu's guru book, which I spoke about earlier in this series of talks, I understood from reading that book that the Western mindset is extremely complex. And when I say Western, of course, it's a very broad term, but I know myself coming from the same kind of background that Kripa Mois Prabhu does, that British, somewhat intellectual type. The Western mindset is very complex. And that, from his book also, and from personal observation, I understood that disciples and maybe many of the gurus also are quite culturally inept. They haven't really absorbed this Krishna conscious culture. Very much on the mental platform. Krishna consciousness means Atmanikshepa, throwing ourselves at Krishna, not holding back, but very much on the mental platform, always trying to understand everything too much with our mind. And with our mind means our conditioning, maybe I'm talking about especially about Western devotees here, maybe thinking too much about the guru-disciple relationship, thinking about it too much, and trying to understand and rationalize it and this and that, instead of just getting on with it. Okay, the guru says this, I'll do it. Guru says this, it's according to Shastra, I'll do it. If the guru tells us to accompany him to some karmi movie, we should be doubtful. If the guru tells us to take some karmi food, we might have our doubts. If the guru tells us to rise early in the morning at 10 Mangal Arati, we shouldn't have doubts. Of course, if we're suffering with a high fever and he insists that we go, that might be something to question. But the basic point is, you're supposed to see who you're surrendering to. You see, you surrender, you follow, and get on with it, naturally. Personally, I have great hope that Indians in particular can be gurus of the future, as Srila Prabhupada wanted. He, so many times, he spoke about this, that Indians should be gurus. Indians still, they tend to have deep faith in Vedic knowledge and Vedic culture. But Indians should embrace their own culture. And I'm talking about devotees and non-devotees now. Even among Indian devotees, so many are enamored by all kinds of things which have got nothing to do with the pure Krishna-conscious culture that Krishna has given us, Krishna's culture. Becoming enamored by rock music in the name of preaching and pizza, sitting on chairs instead of sitting cross-legged, giving so much importance to Western education. How bad this Western education is. It's just thinking today how badly it programs us to think of the world in a mechanistic way. So much could be said about this. Dress, how we dress. We find so many Indians, they don't like to wear dhotis or even saris now, and the hairstyle and so many things. Indians are giving up their own culture. Prabhupada pleaded with Indians, take your own culture. Don't take this Western culture. Personally, I can simply pray for Srila Prabhupada's mercy to stay on the path. Pray that this great Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada brought us can again come to the right path. We can see the clear paths, remain steady on it, and that the Krishna conscious movement can live up to its full potential and shine forth brilliantly with thousands of acharyas, as Srila Prabhupada wanted. We have to work to make that possible. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya chunakam padayo nipatyakrit vajaka kashatamedanam pravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga. Parivada tu jano yatat.